Corey, firstly, beautiful place.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us, man. Looking forward to this. I want to start with how you are, because we saw you at the awards, and before Jack even got to finish the question of how you are, you said you were all good. How you doing?
I'm doing well. In the beginning of this whole journey, which began last August, I was juggling whether do I stay in New York and get treatment and be with the majority of my family, or do I come back to Australia? And the best decision that I made was coming back home to Australia. Now, when I say coming back home to Australia, I truly mean that. New York City's my hometown, Australia's my home. I've had so much peace, and as you can see in this home, it's so quiet. And resting is a big thing with this journey. And that's one thing that I have taken into serious consideration is just rest. When your body say lay down, you lay down. I've never rested this much in my life. I've grinded my whole life, and it's a different feeling. It's a great feeling because I feel myself getting better slowly every day. I do understand it's a journey. I do take it very serious when I say one day at a time. I don't look that far down the road, because with what's going on, today can be a great day. You can have a great week, and then it can turn. So I just am grateful to God for my 24 hours.
Before your diagnosis, once the NBL season ended, and your initial plans were to go and travel, I assume, a little bit. Tell us a little bit about that initial plan when you left Australia.
Yeah, usually every year I go home. My daughter's in college, my eldest, Isabella, in New York City. So I go home and make sure I spend that daddy-daughter time with her. Obviously, with the new addition to the family, we have Gabby as well. I usually go home, recharge the batteries, because though it may look and seem very easy, what we do during the season as commentators, it's a lot of hard work, and it can be draining towards the end of the year. Like, it's condensed, and we go really, really hard with what we're doing. So we need to rest. We need to, you know, get that R&R, and that's what New York is for. So once the season is over, I go home to New York City, travel a bit, and spend time with family.
How are you feeling throughout all that time? Because that's before the diagnosis. You said you do it every single year. You just welcome a new addition to the family. I'd imagine you're kind of on cloud nine.
Yeah, you know, I was really happy with everything. Gabby has been a blessing. That little girl, you saw her. Gabby, she's the one. It's been great. So I get to New York and my energy just wasn't there. You know me, I'm a big energy guy. On a regular day, my energy's always up. And my energy just wasn't there. And I was just like, why am I so tired? You know, I'm training 4 days a week, you know, while I'm here. And I'm on vacation now. And I'm like, I don't want to do anything but just stay in the house and just watch TV, because if I take, you know, maybe 30, 50 steps, I'm tired. I never felt like this in my life. I went to Vegas first. I went to Summer League just to chill, not to work, just to chill. Had Isabella come out. We were going to watch the women's WNBA All-Star game, which was in Vegas. And I was just too tired. And I just felt like, maybe because I was working so hard, I need the rest. Didn't dawn on me. I've never been sick in my life, not on that level. So that's the last thing I'm thinking. I get to New York and it was just still the same thing, just extremely tired. So August 3rd is my birthday. I posted a photo on social media and the comments came in. And one of my best friends called me, who's a female. She was crying. She said, Corey, something's wrong. You need to go to urgent care and check yourself. Something is wrong. You look skinny, blah, blah. And a lot of times you don't see yourself. You don't see yourself. So I'm like, girl, ain't nothing wrong with me, man. Stop crying. But because you're on my case, I'll go to urgent care. So I went to urgent care and I said, check everything. Came back, doctor was like, look, there's nothing wrong. You just overworked pretty much. Just had a baby, you just moved into a new place. You've been traveling, you just finished a heavy workload. You're tired. That's what she told me. And I'm like, that's exactly what I think. I spoke a couple of days, a couple of weeks, maybe a week or two after that. I spoke with my best friend's sister who had these type of issues. She felt these type of issues before. She said to me, I need you to go to the hospital tonight to get checked out. Because what you're telling me about how you're feeling, I don't want to say what I think it is. You need to go to the emergency room now. I said, okay, I'll go to the emergency room. Urgent care and emergency room is two different things. Now I'm going to the hospital, go get checked out. They checked my blood, they didn't like what they saw. They said, we're gonna get a CAT scan. Now, urgent care doesn't have a CAT scan. CAT scan sees everything. They kept me overnight. Doctor comes into my room. Never forget. 3:30 in the morning. Mr. Williams, I have some very bad news. You have stage 4 cancer. I'm so sorry to tell you this. And I had bowel cancer, colon cancer. And I woke up and I said, say that again. And he repeated it. And a part of me was relieved because I said, at least I know what's wrong with me. But then I started, you know, texting my family, letting them know what's going on. Cancer doesn't run in my family, although my mother died of cancer, breast cancer. No one else, it doesn't run in my family. So it was like, what happened to stage 1, 2, or 3? How did I get to 4? Now I have questions like, how long did I have it? You know, so a couple of weeks later, you know, I get to the oncologist and they're like, we need to move fast. This is when I'm contemplating, do I stay in New York or do I obviously come to Australia? So they're like, we need to move fast. We need to get chemo fast. We need to move immediately. And you know, we started it in New York.
When your best friend's sister calls and says, you need to go to emergency, any seed started to plant in your mind that this could be bad? Or do you just think,
no,
I'm just
because,
doing what I need to?
No, I don't think, it's never that bad for me. And it's if it is bad, it's nothing that I can't control. And I'm stubborn, I'm a Leo, I'm super stubborn. So it was crazy that I even listened to her. When she's like, you need to go, you need to go. Usually I'm like, ain't nothing wrong. But I listened to her this time. And I'm glad I did because I found out what happened, you know, what was wrong with me.
We hear so much when the doctor delivers that about how the body reacts and I guess how the mind reacts. And you said you asked him to repeat it. Do you remember that like it was yesterday?
Like yesterday. I was like, say that again. Repeat what you just said so I know and I'm hearing clearly what you just said to me. And he did. And, you know, the way I looked at it was just, it didn't hit me then. There was so much going on in such a short period of time. Started losing weight. You know, I was 108 kilos. I had dropped to like 90. Quick. And I was just like, what's happening? You know, like this, it was tough. It was really tough in New York. It was really difficult. The pain, oh my goodness. The pain, Pete. I've never had pain like that in my life. Like, I don't know what a woman's menstrual cycle, like when they get their period and they get those cramps. Like picture like the worst circumstances when if you say anything to your partner, she'll cuss you out. Like, shut up, leave me alone. Like those type of cramps. Like I was getting, there's like basically a war going on in my body. You got a tumor growing, you got cancer growing, and you got chemo trying to fight it. So there's a war going on. And those cramps that I was getting, I had pain medicine, I had painkillers, and they did nothing. Like it was times at night, I'd be on all fours screaming, it's coming, come. And you know, I was taking Oxy and it wasn't doing anything. Throwing up, just sweats, like it's, this shit is real. It's real. And it was just, I was like, man, we gotta go back to Australia. Every day, Philly and the baby flew up. Philly said, we need to go home. We need to go home. We could handle everything there. And, you know, I truly believe Australia, this place, is gonna save my life. I truly believe that because everything I need is here. I need peace. I need the rest. I need great health care. I was in really good hands in America. But when you combine all of those things, this is the place I know without doubt I need to be to heal and get this out of my system. I have no question. You know, I literally have no question. We have such great support and resources here. I tell you, I got on that stage and how I was received. The love in that place for me and the support, I didn't even know I had. I didn't know I had here. And that's the biggest thing. You know, when I get things like that, I think of people who don't have that, that'd kill you in itself. No support. I couldn't imagine doing this alone. There's people that have to do this alone. Go to the doctor, eat, feed themselves, go shopping, go get your meds. Get to the doctor. What if you don't have a car? You gotta jump on you don't have money for Uber. What do you gotta do? You gotta jump on a tram to get to go see on car. Man, I feel for them and they gotta soldier through. You know what I mean? I'm lucky in the position that I'm in, that I have the support. And that's the biggest thing outside of obviously, you know, your oncologist and treatment and all of that stuff. But the support, I am so grateful, man. I'm so grateful for Philly. You know, and I told her, I was like, yo, listen, once I get a little better, I'm gonna marry you. I said, well, I'm gonna propose. You're gonna, hopefully you say yeah. But, you know, once I get better, I'm gonna marry her because in life, when things are good, you don't know who's really with you. I know this woman is with me and got me. And anything I can do for her, anything, done.
Was she with you when you found out or was she back in Australia?
She was in Australia.
Tell us a little about that conversation.
First she thought I was lying. Then it was just crying. Then jumped on the next plane smoking and the baby and her best friend. It was tough because a lot has happened, you know, first time mother, just had a baby, now your partner got cancer. So now you gotta take care of a newborn and a grown man with what's going on. And she has soldiered, I am so proud of her and so grateful for her for how she's handled everything. It hasn't been easy, but we've made just do, you know. And again, her family's huge, you know. Thank God for her family supporting me as well. You know, her mom, every other Tuesday I go get chemo, she with me. We rolling together, chilling at chemo. You know, that means the world to me, you know? So she's a real one, as we would say.
So you mentioned a few times in your media career and your playing career, you're from the Bronx, you're built different. But I could imagine you never would have thought you'd have to prepare yourself to get through those nights when you're on all fours and the pain you mentioned going through it all back in New York. How do you get through that?
God, B. God, just praying. It's a lot of prayer. You know, growing up, I grew up in a house of love, but the environment outside of, you know, our home was really tough. So mentally, you have to be built different to overcome those obstacles and, you know, a lot of situations you could find yourself in to get out of it. You know, there's a lot of good people where I'm from, but it's just circumstances people get caught up in. And I never wanted to be one of those people. You know, I knew and understood basketball was gonna save my life early. I knew and understood I wanted to play basketball and become pro. I knew and understood I didn't care if it was NBA. If I'm going overseas to play and I'm gonna get paid to see the world and do what I love, what job's better than that? So mentally, I had to prepare, and my route was not an easy route. So when I say mentally, I'm built different. I had to get out of the environment clean, you know what I mean? And get scholarships to go play, and then train my ass off in hopes of getting exposure to try and get a job professionally with no help. That's not easy to do. And I had to use street basketball as the platform. That ain't never been done before. All these things that I've done based off of where I started has never been done before. I clearly know I'm a one of one. I'm a humble giant, I'm humble, you know, and that's why I help when I can. And I believe, you know, God sees all the things that I've done for others and never asks for anything in return. And he's helping me get through this.
That mindset of, and I've seen it since you've been back here, and something that I personally, with when my mum was going through treatment, of making others happy whilst you're battling one of the hardest things in life. There's so much power in that strength. Is that come from just the Bronx, or is there a specific person in your life that that's come from? Because not everyone's built like that.
Yeah, I think probably my mother. You know, my mother died of cancer too, 6-7 years ago, you know, and she's watching me, she's protecting me. And I saw cancer destroy her. That was the biggest bully I've ever seen destroy her. That was my hero. And I swore to myself, that shit ain't gonna destroy me. You got the right one. You picked the right one. You're gonna watch me defeat this shit. I saw what it did to her. That shit ain't gonna happen to me. I'm stronger. I'm younger, and I'm ready for this shit. It ain't gonna beat me. I'm gonna make sure what I wish she could have done, I'ma do for this right here. I got something for this bully. I got something for this bully, this so-called bully.
You feel like in the last few months, there's been moments where you hear her say those kind of things to you?
Yeah.
You know, I talk to my mother all the time, man. You know, I always wanted in my life with anything and everything I've done. And I've messed up in life. I'm not perfect. But I always wanted my mother to be able to say, that's my son. And I always wanted my daughter, and obviously Gabby's new, but my daughter's to say, that's my father. So they proud of the moves that I've made and decisions that I've made and who I've become, you know? So she got me. She watching. You know, and as a former athlete, you know, as you know, Pete, you're a former athlete. On a team, we would go into the locker room pregame. What's on the black and white board? What we need to do? The scouting report. What do we have to do? Just follow the scouting report and we'll win. We got to execute. So that's how I look at this. This, for a lot of people, is some of the biggest battles in their lives. I've been through a lot of big battles in my life. So I don't look at this like this is the biggest battle in my life. I've been in situations where I could have lost my life. I've been in situations where I could have lost my life. So the thought of hearing, you know, cancer stage four, you could lose your life, that shit don't scare me because I've been in these situations before. This is just a different type of situation. So what we gotta do, Pete, we gotta look at the blackboard, we gotta execute the game plan and win the game. And that's exactly how I look at it.
You mentioned before, and I remember a couple years ago, you're at the gym all the time. And now it is an important part of this healing journey to rest. How hard has that been mentally to adapt to? Because that ain't you.
That ain't me. We all know I'm out and about, I'm moving and grooving, hustling and bustling, shaking hands and kissing babies. But, you know, Philly's on my ass 24/7. I call her the police. Oh, man. I can't go nowhere. I can't do nothing. Any move I make, my phone ring. Where you at? You know, she's watching what I'm eating, and that's what you need, you know? Sometimes, obviously, she a pain in my ass, but it's necessary, you know? So I just lay down. You know, I got KO, so I'm watching everything. I'm watching overtime. I'm watching the games, and I just go crazy on my couch. Literally.
You mentioned the support that you've got around you. I think Stuart Scott said it when he got the Jimmy V award at the ESPYs a few years ago about how important it is to fight like hell. And then when you need to rest, let others fight for you. You mentioned Philly, other people around in Australia. Was that easy for you to do, to be able to say, okay, I just need you guys to fight for me for a little bit, or did it take some time to say, all right, you're along this journey with me?
Oh my goodness. Again, remember I tell you I'm stubborn. And, you know, a lot of this stuff that I've done in my life, I've never, like, needed to rely heavily on anybody because Corey's a guy that he's going to get it done. And Corey never wanted anybody to say, if it wasn't for me, this wouldn't have happened. You get me? Corey going to put his own work in for Corey and whoever else he needs to put the work in for. And it was very difficult, but, like, your body's weak. You can't move, so you really have to rely on others. So I had to let go. I had to let go and give her the reins fully. And knowing that she had the right intentions for me, that wasn't easy. But once I let go, it was easy.
What is the treatment like and the schedule? And have you had moments where you've been close to breaking point, or have you just said, I'm no matter what, I'm staying up?
Nah, like, you know, sometimes I would cry and I'm just like, yo, I'm gonna beat this. You know, it's more like a motivational cry. It's not like a why me cry. It's not the pity cry. It's never been that. It's more the motivational cry. I'm gonna get through this. I'm gonna get through this. And tears would just start, you know, falling. And I have no doubts I'm gonna get through this. Like, there's no doubts. It's just, I have to just go through this journey in order to get through it. You know what I mean? So that's just how I look at it. I don't try to look at it any deeper than that. We're gonna get through this however we need to get through it. Chemo, it's now every other week. But that week's usually a heavy week because, you know, we do other things as well. So when I'm on chemo for that week, I really try to rest because my body gets tired. This week, I got more energy because I'm off. I don't have chemo this week. And that's why I was in the gym yesterday and starting to work back out with my trainer because I'm still me. I'm just a skinny version of me. And now it's time to just rebuild back the body slowly. I'm just trying to be in the gym maybe just twice a week. And days that I start feeling stronger and better down the road, three times a week. But we're lifting light, lifting really light, and just rebuilding back the muscles. Because, Pete, right now, I can't run. If I ran, I would fall. That's crazy. I'd fall if I tried to run. So just trying to get the core strength back and, you know, just get it back one session at a time.
Tell me about that first session. I remember listening on the podcast and 3 kilo weights.
Oh, my goodness. So this is downstairs. We have a gym in our building. So I went downstairs to train, well, pick up some weights. And I was just like, let me get the 10s. I was like, damn, these are too heavy. I said, all right, let me get the 7s. I said, this is still too heavy. And I just saw 5s and 3s. I was like, I can't believe I'm looking at 5 and 3 kilo dumbbells to lift. And I had to grab the 3s. And I was like, yo, you're not where you were before. This is where you got to start. This is what it is. You know what I mean? Like, I can't think about, yo, I was in the gym lifting 50, 60 kilos, pressing. That's not where we're at. We got to start over and rebuild. That's what we got to do. So it wasn't a frustrating feeling. I just, you know, I just look at the positive in life. We're here, we gotta rebuild. So let's just make the best version of you this time around.
The one day at a time motto.
One session at a time.
How much does Gabby play a role in that? Because she's a little bundle of joy and she's starting to move a little bit now. And how much has that helped you through this journey?
That's helped a lot because let's say I'm healthy, we commentating. I missed a lot with my daughter, Isabella, because I was playing when I had her. So I was always gone. And, you know, obviously playing overseas, playing any kind of pro sport, you gotta be selfish. You know, you have this sport and this skill for a certain amount of time. You're trying to maximize that window of opportunity. Become the best athlete or player you can be in that sport. Make the most money you can make because you know it's gonna end at some point. And put yourself and your family in a position to be okay when it's all said and done. I missed a lot. With Gabby, me laying down, being here every day, I'm not missing nothing and it's a joy to actually watch her grow. To see her every day growing is so cool. And I'm older now, so I can appreciate things way more. And in a weird way, I think God just was like, yo, sit down, man, you're doing too much. This is the only way I'll be able to sit your ass down. Because who knows what else could have happened. Like, I go hard when I work. And I ain't just doing NBL stuff. You know what I mean? Foot Locker, you know, podcasts. I have clients that I motivationally speak with and check in with. Like, I do a lot because I understand a window of opportunity. So many people wish they could be in my position doing what I'm doing. So I don't take advantage of these opportunities that come my way. So I'm going dumb hard. For all I know, I could have had a stroke. I could have had a heart attack. It happens all the time to people. You know what I mean? So I'm just like, there's a reason I have this. And, you know, the oncologist, it's not like they said to me, you got 6 months. You know, thank God. You know, you got a year. It's nothing like that. So that further allows me to know, put yourself in the right position. Do all the things you need to do to beat this. You know what I mean? So that's just how I look at this whole thing. You take a positive mindset and you continue to push forward.
And you mentioned about you belong here. This is home.
That's right. And that's right.
The basketball community, the NBL, the Kesselman family, all of that. It seems that you're not fighting alone. We know that. But it's even more than you would have ever dreamt of.
100%. Pete, think about it, man. Like, I'm not Ozzy. I'm a visitor here who's calling this place home, you know what I mean? And the reception that I've received from everybody, you know, Larry, Anita, his wife, they have been so good to me. And I'm eternally grateful. The NBL family, because that's what we are. We are a family, have supported me and showed me so much love. And, you know, a lot of times with support, you know, it could just be a text. That means the world to me. It could just be a hug when I see you, the smile when I see you. Like, it means a lot. You know, I appreciate the little things. I don't discredit these little things like it doesn't mean anything, because it does to me. To me, it does. Whether I was in this situation or not, you know, because people don't do that. Like, New York, people ain't doing that. You know, it's just not happening. And strangers I don't know. The pour, the outpour that's coming through on my social media platforms, DMs, messages. I'm just so grateful, and I know this country's gonna heal me. It's gonna heal me. And you'd be a fool to leave a place that's showing you this much love and appreciation. You'd be a fool. I ain't no fool.
You've done the motivational speaking, you do all of that, and you do it as such a great job and inspiration, role model. But to have those people reach out that you're helping them through something, I'm sure that hits a little harder than everything else.
It does. I have real conversations with people I don't know. But it's the subject matter we're talking about that we relate to, and it draws us closer to each other. And just the fact that they're helping me and I'm helping them means the world to each other. To each of us, to be honest with you. Very, very grateful for those who have reached out.
Getting to know you over the last few years and everything you've said now, the thing that epitomizes who you are is when we got told you came back and people could come and see you. And we got told he doesn't want to hear any negativity. He doesn't want to hear you say sorry. If you say any of that, he's going to kick you out.
100%. Don't treat me any different because of my current status and situation than you would prior to this. Treat me the same. I don't want people, oh, Corey, I'm so sorry, man. Get out of my face, man. I don't want to hear that shit. You know how many people could easily say that? I don't want to hear that. Don't pity me. I'm going to be all right. I've been in worse situations and came out. Don't pity me.
every day as this goes on, as you say, one day at a time, have you allowed yourself to have those moments where you're like, it's okay if I'm not okay today?
100%. You know, there's times, like I said, man, I cry. There hasn't been a lot of those moments. You know, I'm strong-willed, and when I need to cry, I let it go, I cry. But then I'm like, get up. It's time to do what we need to do. And it's okay, I'm human. You know, we all have those moments. Have your moment, get yourself together, and let's keep on trucking.
You started putting the tweets back out, got back behind the mic a little bit. I can only imagine that just...
Yo, I was going crazy on this couch, Pete. Yeah. I'm like, yo, I got to say something. I'm like, these people lucky I'm not working this season. That's what's saving them. I was on this couch. Philly will tell you. I'm like, you know what? I ain't going to tweet nothing. I'm going to chill. But then there was some stuff I couldn't hold back. At one point, I was sleeping when I was attempting to sleep. I was so pissed off, I sent a tweet at like midnight. The game ended at like 9. I'm like, I gotta say something. I can't do this and let it go. So that's just the passion in me. You know, I love the game. I'll always love the game. I'm at a happy place with the game. I think the biggest thing with my whole playing career was that I left her. She didn't leave me. I had a conversation with her and said to her, I love you. I appreciate you. Everything you've done for me and my family, I'm eternally grateful for you. But I gotta go. I gotta let you go. And she said to me, don't ever look back. You better keep going. Don't ever look back. Don't ever try to come back for me. That's the game. Because that's exactly what it is. So with me happily leaving on my own merit, it allows me to be this happy. There's so many players, $200 million in their account, $500 in their account, a dollar in their account. The game left them bitter, unhappy, and it shows. And it leads to so many things. Drinking, blowing money, bad behavior, because it's still in their system and they did not fully get it all out. So I'm just grateful that I'm not that. And that's why I smile every day.
We love that smile. We love you. I speak on behalf of everybody in Australia, all the basketball community. One last message for everybody before we go. What is it if they want to hear from Corey Homicide Williams?
I'll be back next season. I ain't going nowhere. I want you to know that. I'm not going nowhere. We continue to fight, and we will continue to heal, and we will get better. And I love you all. Thank you for all the support. It means the world to me and my family. I sincerely appreciate you all. Thank you.
Thank you, bro. Thanks for having us in this beautiful home as well.
Thank you.
Philly, thank you for letting us in your home. How are you doing?
I'm all right, thanks. Thanks for asking.
How's everything been since you've been back in Australia? Because Corey mentioned how important it was to come home, and just in this beautiful home, it feels like this is where you're meant to be right now.
Correct. This is where we're meant to be, and I'm glad we're here. So when we get here, of course, it was very challenging and difficult, but thank God we are going in the right direction and he's doing much better.
Tell me a little bit about the phone call of when you heard from him, because you were back here with Gabby and he's in a completely different part of the world.
Yeah. So I dropped him off to the airport, happiest, healthiest ever. And I got a call. He usually called me the same time. And he says, I got a stage 4. I was like, I'm glad by then I was not holding our baby, because he must be joking. How can that be possible? And yeah, that was a reality. So it was bad. It was very, very bad. I have to pack up everything. And I think in 2 weeks' time or something, I had to leave to the US. So, yeah, that was it.
He's talking a little bit about those weeks in the US and the pain he was in and before you get there. How hard is that to deal with when you can't be by his side?
Hard. It was very hard. Yeah, when I get there, what you see right now is, I don't know, I can't even compare it from where he was. The most difficult part for me was to see the strongest man, to see him in that position, to see him in pain. With Corey, you all know him. There is no dull moment. 5 o'clock in the morning, we're listening up, listening music. He was in pain. And it was really, really sad for me to see him go through that.
He talks about you being his rock now, and because you have to, one, be there for him, but also juggle your firstborn daughter in Gabby. How do you do that in the moment? Because you probably look back now being like, how did I do that?
That's exactly right. I don't know. It just went so quick. And, you know, when you are in that moment, you just deal with it. Like if I think back now, I would have said, oh, how have I done it, you know? But it's going so fast. And even when he's in pain, he doesn't really complain, you know. He will look at me and he will say, you look crazy, go get your hair done. So that helps, but I know the difference. But thank God.
Have you ever been through anything similar in terms of, that's a long way to get to America, and I'm sure there's plenty going on in your mind and you've got to look after a little one on the plane as well. How do you get through a flight like that? I've been through something similar and it's one of the worst things that you've ever done.
Wow, that's correct, but I was very lucky enough. One of my best friend decided to come with me for 3 days. She said, I can't see you leave alone in that long flight with a newborn. I'm coming with you. So she came and our baby was a legend. She slept through. Yeah, I can't believe it. So the flight was not bad. It's just the reason why you're going, where you're going, what's going on, happening in your head is the most difficult thing. But the flight was not that difficult.
Except we know Corey, we do, and he talks about how stubborn he is and that he's a fighter. Those moments when he tells you to go and get your hair done, does it just remind you of like, this is the Corey that I know?
Correct. Every day. He is, as you all know him. And he's stubborn. You know, but that's who he is. He's always been in charge and leading. So nothing defeats him. And he wants to be that person, and he is that person. Again, which really, really help in this kind of difficult situation.
We know what he's going through, and it can be tough for a partner to go through as well. Do you allow yourself to have those moments where you let it all out?
I do. I have enough support. I have my family, and our daughter is amazing. But regardless what, the reality is he's unwell, and it's challenging. So I do have those moments.
Could you ever envision when you came back here, and I mean this beautiful place, but the support that your family has received in the last few months, is it beyond anything you could ever compare to?
I can't even express my feeling. You're going to get me emotional. For me, you know, we were not really decided where we're going to be. The moment he says, come, I left, and he was thinking staying back home at the US. But I really wanted him here from day one. And when we decided to be here, I was the happiest. But regardless what, him having family back home, not here, except from me, you know, it's just, it's question always, like, is he happy? You know, will he be okay? But once we are back, all the support from everybody, I love to call Australia home. And I'm very grateful.
How much does that support help during the tough times? He mentions his treatment, and some days he's more tired than others. But as you said, your family as well, to be able to have other people help fight on this journey.
I can't even describe it. That's what you needed, you know. It's a difficult situation. It's hard, it's tough, anything you can call it. And for Corey, he's a people's person. He loves people. That's who he is all his life. And getting that love from everyone, that's what he needed. And to be in a different country and getting, receiving all that, it matters to him. And for me, with where we are right now, to see him happy is what makes me happiest.
When you met him, did you know that, you talk about the stubbornness, and I mean, did you know about the tweets and all of that, that he didn't much make enemies of people, but he says what's on his mind, and that's the beautiful thing of Corey. Did you know that about him when you first met him?
No, that all comes later.
Now that he's back to tweeting, he's back behind the mic, and you see him back where he's supposed to be, how does that make you feel?
Happy. Very happy.
You see him every day, and he mentions laying down, and he gets to be around Gabby all the time. I'm sure if you're in the kitchen and you're watching that, that's those kind of moments where you're like, we've made the right choice in coming back to Australia.
So for every person, anyone, knowing you have made a right decision, it can be about anything, is what really makes you happy. And looking at him every day, he tells me also, but when hearing it and knowing, feeling it's not the same, we made the right decision. And that really, really makes me very happy.
I'm interested in whereabouts are you sitting when he's watching the games and he's getting fired up and you know that he's probably going to tweet something, he's going to say something.
I let him be. I mean, that's my choice anyway. He does his thing, so I let him be. Yeah.
He mentions about how important you are to him on this journey. Do you feel like it's an extra weight, or it's something that you've like, no matter what, we're in this together? And then when you get through the other end of this, and he says about the future that it holds, it's going to be just another chapter in this beautiful story of yours.
100%. Whatever it is, I'm right next to him, in front of him and beside him.
His personality is unique. He says he's one of one, and the stubbornness and everything that comes with making him the beautiful person that he is. When did you start to see that come back out? Now that you've moved back, and it's been a few months since the treatment began, and again, when you said how hard it was when he initially started, do you remember the first moment when you're like, that's Corey, you're like he's getting through, we're on the right path?
That didn't go away. It's funny. That didn't go away. Even when he's in pain, the true himself, that didn't go away. When he's in so much pain, he still have something to say, you know, that didn't go away at all. So I can really say now, like, he's better and, you know, he's back at it. But even from the beginning, that didn't go away for him. He's always stubborn.
How do you slow him down? Because he said that you're the one who has to kind of police him and tell him to stop and to rest. But usually he's not going to listen. But now, you know, he has to.
So for him, he listens to me when I'm very serious. If I say something, he just brush it off. But when he knows, oh, she's there, I have to listen now, then he listens to me. So, yeah, he needs to rest, and he knows that now.
There's going to be certain moments along this journey that stand out, and one for me is the courtside back at the game and the first game back in the NBL and everybody coming up to him, and we saw at the awards. But from your perspective, when you see that, or he tells you about that, how does that make you feel?
Amazing, amazing. You know, obviously when you go through a very difficult time, like, you imagine coming out of it, but when the reality hits and it's, you are really there, it makes you very happy. So for me too, that's his life, you know, basketball is his life. He loves going out, he loves the people, you know, he loves going out and everything. And for me to see he start doing that, that's the achievement I prayed for. So we are in a good place right now.
Not everybody is built the way that he is in terms of the strength, but now that the thousands of people that he's inspiring along the way, and I'm sure he's inspiring you as well.
Every day. And sometimes I feel like, tell me, are you really okay? He said, just leave me alone, I am okay. So he does inspire me. I can't imagine a person go through this and, you know, he worry other people still. I told him, I remember this is a key point, so I can't forget this. When I get to the US, I told him, I need you to be selfish now. I need you to think about you and you only. He can't do that. You know, he's always have something to do. That's who he is.
What does that mean for you as, obviously he's your partner, but the father of your child? Because you're right, and I mentioned that when I was talking to him. There's so much power in that strength of wanting to make other people happy, wanting to put everything else and to help other people rather than focus on yourself. But that's just the kind of person he is. Not everybody is built like that.
I agree. But the thing is, regardless of what's going on, you have to let the person be. That's what makes him happy. That's what helps him heal and go through the treatment, the challenge, and some difficult days as well. So I learned that after, of course, because I was like saying, you have to do this, we have to do this, we have to do this. And I realized I have to let him be. You know, there are things he's been doing all his life. He enjoyed, he loved. So I have to just let him be. So even though that we have difficult days, if you want to get up and tweet in the middle of the night at 12 o'clock, that's what he is doing.
That's right. His motto, one day at a time. But he spoke about after he's beaten this, the future and watching Gabby grow. How beautiful is it to hear those kind of words and just know is like, once this chapter's done, we're going to put it behind us and the rest of our life really begins.
You have to be in that moment to understand. He gave me strength. I should be the one to give him strength at the moment, but hearing those words gives me strength. And we keep going.
Thank you so much for your time.
It's lovely
to hear
me.
That. And again, your beautiful home and your beautiful family. So thank you.
Thank you.